Thankful for what the Lord's doing and what He's going to be doing. If you want to be looking up Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Appreciate the Lord. How many is glad that prayer still changes things? When we press through and receive something from God, there's a victory that this world can't give. If this world could give us the victory, we would not have needed a Savior. But the world can't give it. And the good thing below that, the world can't take it away. Praise God. Might lose everything I have in this life, and if I hang on to the bloodstained banner of Christ, Brother Jerry, I'll make heaven. Things might get rough, but I'm serving the God that's able to see me through the rough places. He said to Israel, he said, I'll lower the mountains, I'll exalt the valleys, I'll make the crooked places straight, the rough place is smooth. So that's a good thing to look at, isn't it? How many's got Luke chapter 8 found? If you would, stand with us. Praise the Lord. A familiar scripture we've read before. Times past. 43rd verse. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him say, "Master, the multitude thrown thee and pressed thee, and thou say, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you for this service. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you for one more time we have to worship you. Lord, we pray. God, touch lives in this place tonight, Lord. Touch the hearts of men and women here tonight. Lord, we just pray, God, that you prepare us for tomorrow and the next day and eternity as we surrender to you tonight, Lord. Be one that doesn't know you. We pray, God, touch their hearts tonight, Lord. Anoint us to preach your word. We'll praise you for it, Lord, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I have a thought tonight and along these scriptures as we was praying about this evening's service. I wonder today if maybe the church has become, and as we as individuals have become, just kind of satisfied where we're at. I fear that may be what has happened in some of our lives, is becoming satisfied. And to be satisfied is we're just content, and maybe there's a need in our lives and we find ourselves not pressing to receive that need. And I guess that, you know, I'm really speaking about an expectation here today. If we've lost our expectation of God answering prayer, then I'm fearful that we could lose out with what God's got for us. If you find yourself in a position that if we begin to pray and we say, "Well, I don't know if there's any need to even pray about this," then the expectancy of God moving has absolutely gone. Now, what would have happened to this woman with the issue of blood if she'd have said, "Well, I've been to the doctor, I've been here and I've been there, and everything has failed"? What if she just said, "Well, I'm just content and being where I'm at"? She would have died with that issue of blood. And folks, the church, if we find ourselves content in where we're at, we'll die a spiritual death. But it's time that we decide that in spite of the crowd, in spite of the negativity that's surrounding us, and not even considering the condition that we're pressing through, there's still a place in God that if we will press and we will push and press past that doubt and unbelief and Maybe that one that says there's no hope, praise God. When man says there's no hope, that's exactly when God picks it up and says there's hope. I've seen folks that would say that so-and-so can't be saved. And when we find ourselves saying that this one couldn't be saved or that one couldn't be saved, we're finding ourselves in a contented state that God's not pleased with. As a pastor, I believe it's my position to lead to the point that to be able to say and believe by the truth of the word that there is a place in God that we can press through and receive from the Lord. Someone would look around and say, well, you don't realize the circumstances. When you start looking at circumstances, you've lost half the battle. When you start looking at what the doctor says, and you start listening to what brother and sister so-and-so or the world says, and it becomes a doubt to you, then you have found yourself losing the battle. It's time that we say it doesn't matter. You stop and think about the army of dry bones that was in the desert there. And as Ezekiel began to prophesy to them, what if Ezekiel had just stopped and looked the situation over as that valley of dry bones was there, Brother Barney, and would have said, there's no hope. And there's no way that God can raise up an army out of these dry bones. Now, within ourselves, that is true. But through God, how many knows, all things are possible. Hallelujah. To them that believe. We can still speak to the mountain and it be removed. We can still fall out on our face and cry out to God and see lost souls being saved. The word says when Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. It ought to be, we might say this, the world would say this, well, it used to be that when folks come to church and they wasn't right with God, that conviction would grip their hearts in such a way they couldn't sit there until they made a move to the front or made a move to the back. Now, can we sit here today and say, well, things have changed. God's not the way it used to be. Sister Van Kuren, God's not changed. When we put God first in our lives, when the pastor and the preacher sells out and gives their all to the Lord, and those that come to the houses of God is praying, fasting, and seeking God's face, I'm here to say today that praise God, that one that pushes through, there's still a God in heaven will say, somebody's touching me. I hear a cry down there that needs me to come on the scene. There's still a convicting power of God that will still convict those that walk in sin and feel like everything's okay. Because why? We're serving a God that still convicts, still saves, still heals, still parts the Red Sea. Still, when we press through, praise God, and touch the hem, just the hem of His garment, He still heals. Why? He took stripes for our healing. Ah, oh, you say, preacher, the church is dead. If you can convince the world of that and convince a Christian of that, Lord, help us. I'm not convinced of that. How about you? I still believe that the church is alive and well. I still feel like that there's still, praise God, a saving power. There's still a delivering power. There's still a healing power. There's still a power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that destroys the yokes of bondage. We still, Brother Wendell, can take anointing oil and lay hands on the sick, and the sick can recover, and their sins be forgiven. Anybody with me? Glory to God. Praise God. We got to find ourselves to not find ourselves to be in a content state. Satisfied where we're at. Lost a desire to serve God. This walk with God is not a job. Folks have said to me, now, I really kind of expected this to be kind of quiet tonight. And you know what? Quietness don't scare me, does it you? A little noise and excitement don't scare me either, does it you?
A little shout never hurt nobody. David danced before the Lord. You know why? Presence of the Lord come back to his camp. That's something to shout about. Praise God. Someone said, they've said to me, said, my Lord, you got two jobs. I said, I don't really look at it like that. I've got a secular job I do, but this is not a job to me. This is a call. If it's a burden for you to come to church, I would suggest for you to examine your salvation. Well, we're preaching good now, Brother Barney. If we feel obligated and just say, well, now there's going to be times you'll go when you don't feel like it. How many knows that? Not every time I step behind the pulpit, I feel like a fiery preacher. You said, praise the Lord, I can agree with that, Brother Eddie. Not every time that we step up and raise our hands, we feel the Holy Ghost moving in our lives. But when we walk by faith, we'll see results. There'll be times you won't feel like it, but there'll come a time you will. Praise God. Do you just serve Him for what you can get out of it, or do you serve Him because you love Him? I'll be honest with you. I'm not serving Him for streets of gold. I'm not serving Him for gates of pearl. And I'll say this until the day I die. I'm certain of this. I would feel like I would serve Him even if there wasn't a heaven to gain. Even if I wasn't going to be one day step over on Jordan's side and every tear be wiped away from my eyes. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. Even if those things weren't so, I believe, I'm convinced that serving Him while on this earth is well worth the effort. Praise God. But the truth is, He did die, and He said, I'm going to leave. He told the disciples, I'm going to leave you, boys, in the 14th chapter of John. He said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I'm at, there you may be also. And it did, even so, it happens to be this. I'm going to serve Him while I'm here, but one day I'm going to step over in a new body, praise God, and I can't imagine what the gates of heaven's going to be like. I can't imagine what it's like to walk on streets of gold, but one day I will, praise God. Why? Because I've got an expectation, praise God. I'm not satisfied, praise God, not serving Him with my whole heart. I need to strive, strive, and strive to serve Him with my whole heart. He doesn't want us to give Him half an effort. You know what? You'll be blessed by giving your whole effort out. I've seen teachers that have said, matter of fact, I had one. I made a pretty good passing grade. You know why? Because he thought I was trying. And I wasn't the smartest one in the class. But he gave me a good grade because he knew I was trying. I want to tell you something. Lord will bless you because He knows when you're trying to serve Him. You think God don't know when trouble comes your way? He knows when it happens before it hits you. Why? Because He's an eternal God. He's an all-knowing God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He knows what's going to happen. Praise God. If He knew John in his mama's womb before he ever come out, amen, and begin to speak about the Holy Ghost, and John leaped in Elizabeth's womb, praise God. If that was going to be the case, I'm telling you, church, we're serving a God that knows what we need. This woman with the issue of blood, she knew there was something she needed that man couldn't give her. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there's some things you need in this life that man cannot give you. Are you hearing me tonight? There's some things in this world, praise God, that this world cannot fulfill. Praise God, there's a Savior that died for us, that gives us peace and joy and happiness like we can't describe. How many knows it is a scientific fact that those people that are sick in body and go to the hospital, they recoup better than those that are unbelievers? The evangelicals, and I don't mind being classified an evangelical. That doesn't offend me a bit for somebody to call me an evangelical. It doesn't even offend me, praise God, Brother Josh, for them to call me a Bible thumper. If we're not a Bible thumper, we better get to thumping that Bible. I'm classified as a Pentecostal preacher. Well, it's time that I act like one. Are you with me? I'm not even offended when they call me a holy roller. Went down to Brother Donnie Chisholm the other day, and he talked like we redefined that name here a few years ago in a revival out here. Praise God. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is still real. He's still moving. But we find ourselves getting content where we're at, then we're going to miss out. Praise God. I don't want to be content where I'm at. I want to be expecting something. She received something that no man could give her. When I come to an old-fashioned altar as a young boy, I receive something, Brother Jerry, that no man could give me. Now, I'm not against education. That's a great thing. But I could tell you something. I could have went to Harvard. What's some of them other big schools? Yale? Princeton? Oh, yeah. North Arkansas College? Our professor's not even here tonight. I could have went to all these things and learned all these educational things. And I could have even, Brother David, just been blessed by natural abilities to play ball or whatever the case may be and obtained lots of money. But I'm here to tell you, none of those things could have fulfilled the need that I need for a Savior. None of those things. I could have a physical need in my body and go to all the doctors in the world, praise God, and he could never refill and never put that filling inside of me that, praise God, that longing to serve a Savior, praise God. We cannot find it at Walmart's. And I'd be safe in saying those men and women that have invested thousands upon thousands of dollars in the stock market could tell you right now, it ain't there either. Because all that can go just like that. Did you hear that? That quick. Gone! But I want to tell you something. That quick, a trumpet's going to sound. The word says in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. I tell you what, twinkle your eye and see how quick that is. That means you might be walking down Walmart's aisle and the trumpet sound. That means I might be sitting there one day at one of my unbelieving customers with my laptop up, and there'll be a twinkle in an eye, Sister Heather. Hallelujah. There'll be a trumpet begin to sound, and they turn back and they look back, and the preacher's not there, just a laptop laying in the floor. How you hear me tonight? How many still got an expectation of God moving in your life? How many found yourself just satisfied where you're at? It's time that we realize there's more out there than what we've got. Nothing new this side of heaven, but I want to walk in a place that God wants me to walk. I want to be what he wants me to be. I'm not here for show. Hey, man, I'm not here for you to pat me on the back. I'm here because God called me to be here. And until he says otherwise, I will be here proclaiming his gospel. And I hope he don't say stop until the trumpet blows. But it's time we find ourselves. There is something out there. Amen. It's the Savior. It's Jesus Christ. It's the love of the Father that this money can't buy, that this world can't contain. Praise God. You can't contain. You can't describe. Webster can't define the love of God. It's unspeakable, full of joy, full of glory. Praise God. It's unimaginable. It's no end. There's no beginning. There's no stopping. God loves you, and he loves me in such a way that we must press through the crowd to get to him. Satisfied. Well, everything's all right. Brother Eddie, I got everything going my way. Do you? That's a pretty good visual. One of these days, they'll call extension 6722. Normally, she says, hello, this is Teresa. No, she says it different. Pricing, this is Teresa. And then I say, hello, hun. And some of these days, they may dial extension 6722, and someone else will pick up the phone. Pricing, who's somebody in there? Pricing Joe. Pricing Joe. Sometimes when she's not there, I'll call at her desk and I'll say, you know, he said, well, can we leave her a message? I'll go see if she's at her desk. One of these days, glory, I won't be the one calling because we'll be meeting in the air. Praise God. Somebody will call and say, what about extension 6722? And old Joe will pick it up and say, she's not there. I don't know where she's at. Praise God. She's done left this life. Why? Because she made preparations to leave this life. Folks, listen, we cannot find ourselves satisfied where we're at. Expect a miracle. And you'll receive it. How many is expected? Now, for about 9 months, my wife was expecting, and I along with her, this little bundle of joy on the front row. Amen.
And he was a joy. And he is. Thank God when he got big enough, I didn't have to make a bottle to take with him. Now the wife, she likes it. Ooh, goo, ga, ga, change those diapers. I don't like it 1 ounce. I didn't, and I won't, and I never will. That's a pretty confident never I can say on that one. But when he got big enough, oh, he could take a hold of my finger and follow me, Brother Barney. Boy, that's the way I like it. Of course, now I have to look up to him. Things keep on changing. But I was smart. I asked him, well, I had him promise to me, when he's about Josh's age, on a little bit bigger. I said, now, son, I said, I want you to promise me never to hurt me. Many times he's had to think about that and think, boy, I wish I never made that promise, but he's not. I'm just teasing. He's not a bad kid. He's the closest to perfect I ever seen right here. Contrary to Nanny Reed's belief, he is a better boy than I was. I can promise you that. But there was 9 months there that we were expecting this bundle of joy. We've had this. My wife's got an onslaught of pictures of these babies, of these newborn babies we got. Boy, I tell you what, we're blessed to have these babies. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise for that. I tell you. Some preacher said, well, that's one way to grow a church, Brother Eddie. I said, well, ever how you want to look at it. We're blessed. 9 months. And I noticed her. And of course, when my wife gets something, you know, that she's determined to do, it's going to happen. She's not going to waver. And she was determined that she was not going to put anything into her body that would contaminate that baby. Well, I'm getting way out here, ain't I? No Mountain Dews. You know why? Because that had caffeine. No chocolate, because that had caffeine. Of course, she didn't drink or smoke or anything along that line, so that was not an issue. But she was really, really protecting what was growing on the inside, expecting. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I've had people that have told me that I was too legalistic in my walk. Legalistic, I'm talking of dress codes, actions, and things that I would do or not do because of what I feel is biblically right or wrong. Some of those things are for your personal conviction. But we're going to make it one of these days and leave this life. Now, my question is to us tonight, and I know I've given you a broad selection here. This is how God's brought this to a close for me tonight. She protected that expectant baby of what she put in. I'm expecting one day the trumpet's going to sound, and what I've done for him, Brother Barney, is all it's going to stand. It's not going to be my ability to be a preacher, because I can't do that within myself. It's not going to be the little dab of talents, Brother Josh, that the Lord's given me to play an instrument. None of those things. It's going to be what I've done for him. It's going to be, have I protected the sanctity of preparing for that day? Those things that will contaminate that birth, that's what I got to watch. I feel like this. If the Lord's put something on your heart and convicted you, doesn't matter if it seems small. I'd say, don't do it. Dress codes, things you go see, places you go. He says no, don't worry about what anybody else does. Don't do it. Now, there's biblical truths here that we must stand on, that there's no wavering. That does not affect our salvation. But there are things in life that we must hold true to. Our witness. our walk with God, the things we watch, the things we do, the things we say. Folks, if all we can say is negative things and hateful things, we better examine what we're doing. If I can't forgive my brother, if I can't forgive my sister, if I can't forgive my family, what's wrong with me? I'm contaminating my life. I'm jeopardizing the future. What if that trumpet blows and I've got that inside me? What if that trumpet sounds just like that and I'm not expecting it? The five wise and the five foolish virgins. Five wasn't ready. Five was. How about us tonight? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you tonight for this service. Lord, help us not to be satisfied where we're at. Help us, Lord, today. Lord, to draw nigh to you, to walk softly in your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder tonight, even without a song, God will meet you at this altar. If they want to get a song, that's fine. I wonder today, have you pressed through the crowd and received that this world can't give you? Jesus. Or maybe you're here tonight with that expectancy of the trumpet to sound and you're allowing things to contaminate your life. It will affect you when the trumpet sounds. Are you here tonight needing a miracle? And you say, well, maybe it's not for me. Oh, but it is. How about it tonight? Praise God. Our prayer is that something's been said to stir you tonight. Because there is a heaven to gain. And folks, I talked about the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. If we don't make that destination, it's eternal torment. The worm never dieth, and words can't describe it. There is a hell that burns. Oh, but it is throughout eternity. How do you know that, preacher? It's kind of satisfied. Praise God. Not going to tell.